what we're doing, we're both purposed to do. Mm-hmm. And because we're purposed to do it, the Bible says that when you commit your work to the Lord, your plans will succeed. Mm-hmm. And so we follow that principle. And so therefore, because we're doing God's work and we are purposed to do it, everything that we need is there. And so the people, the community, the youth that we need to serve, the families, they're there.
This is Coach Tim Brown, host of Be a Baller Podcast. And today I'm excited to have with me two special guests, both Sharon and Aaron Hathaway of ICE Mentors and Aaron Pink. It's been a blessing watching them mature and grow in this space of mentoring. Their focus has been on definitely building that next generation of leaders. They're doing the work where the rubber meets the road, as we say. They're out there in the community and just doing a great job. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is awesome. You guys got a great story, you know, being, I guess, I went back to childhood friends, you know, and from that, what inspired both of you to have this heart to serve? You know? Where did that come from?
You want to take the other one here?
I think that when I reflect back on how Sharon and I met and where we met, Sharon and I both met at our church. We grew up in the same church. As youth, we don't know exactly when we met, mm-hmm. but Sharon and I both have a unique identity about both of us, where at our church, we were both youth leaders in different avenues and whatever mm-hmm. department it may have been. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, him being youth leader over the teens, and I was, you know, like a youth captain over the girls that I was, mm-hmm. you know, in my age group, or the dance team or the different departments in our church. I think that as we grew up, we recognized that as young adults, we owed that service back, mm-hmm. that experiences that we had, we owed it back to the generation that was coming under us. And I think that leadership and servanthood was something that was just authentic to us. It wasn't ever crafted out to be a career or a opportunity for us, but just a path of servitude that we were doing authentically. That was, you know, natural for us.
And I couldn't agree more. And I would say, you know, church played as a very important role in terms of, you know, youth being developed and, you know, having skills. And because they always appoint people to do different roles and positions and things like that. And maybe you don't know the credit that it's really worthy of, but those skills really transcend to the real world. And we were able to create something that was be able to be service to the world.
Amen. Can you guys talk about some of those early mentors in your life?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, growing up, I've always followed my pastor, you know, as a youth. You know, and as I transcended into, you know, adulthood, I remember specific names, very specific names in college, like Corey Williamson. He was my first supervisor who became a friend. And one thing that was really cool about guiding me and leading me into the work that we're doing now was he disciplined me. So my first supervisor actually fired me, or not fired me. He put me on. He suspended me. Yeah. I learned. I got to do some things a little bit different. Right. And then we had such a good relationship that he laughed about it. As like, I said, you're suspending me? He said, yeah, I'm suspending you. And it was just a big joke for him. But he said he had to teach me a lesson. So that he became a close friend from that moment, mentoring me throughout the way. And just as I'm growing, evolving in life. So several mentors, Corey Williamson, Lori March, Ms. Marseille Waddell, teacher from early childhood, who still sticks with me to this day with Columbus City Schools. And I would even say you, Coach Brown, you've been a guide and an assistant to me, you know, as we've established doing the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And who are some of those ladies in your life?
You know, I value mentorship relationships. I think that as girls, we always look to women and teens and girls directly ages above us. And so as a young girl growing up in church and the different community events I was involved in, I always looked up to, I have an older sister, so I always looked up to my older sister. I always looked up to the teenagers that were directly at age or a experience ahead of me. And so throughout my life, I've always had women involved in my life who were there for me in that season. And even to this day, I'm grateful for the women who have been there for me in the path that I needed. I've even had a mentor who was my college, she was an advisor in college who today now sits on our board of directors for our organization. So I definitely value the mentor relationships that I've had. They've guided me through life.
Absolutely.
One thing that I hear a lot in the podcast and conversations with persons about how important relationships are. Could you speak to young people on how important it is to build those relationships early, and you never know where they're going to come, how they're going to come back full circle?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, relationships are extremely important to your success. And, you know, as you build relationships, I would say, you know, one thing that's even that I think contributes the most to relationships is how you show up for people. Right. And I think that something that young people need to understand that relationships aren't transactional. You know, it's not something that you just, hey, call somebody when you need something. You know, you actually need to be there to actually assist their need or just whatever that relationship really is for you to give to. Right. So being a friend, you know, being loyal, being honest, being truthful, you know, being someone who maybe we never give each other anything, but I'm just there for you, just to hear to talk to you, to hear from you. And I think that if young people can learn how to bond with people from that standpoint, liking their likes, laughing with them, understanding their characteristics, you know, things can happen. You just never know. I've been in many business meetings that have taken place that we just built a strong bond and just a liking to one another that we don't even have to talk about the business matter. The business matter is very easy to be able to solve. It's the relationship part that is the hardest.
You know, I know as young couple, you guys are kind of working together. You have a boys group, Ice Mentors. Yeah. You have a girls group, Aaron Pink. And can you tell us, I want to hear the story behind this Aaron Pink.
Yeah.
I know you got a little cartoon character, the whole deal. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So Aaron Pink is actually a fictional cartoon character that we created to be a positive representation of what a girl is today. And so growing up, I didn't always have a visual aspect of what a girl like myself could be or become. And so we created Aaron Pink to be that visual, that example of a leader, of a girl who lives a life full of purpose, so that girls in the middle school age can see a model to look up to. And so we use her life as the base of our curriculum for our programs.
Awesome. And then Sharome, you have Ice Mentors.
That's right. Etiquette. So, you know, when we really started doing the programming, ICE came to me in mind from college. And the birth of this mission was, I felt like that young men needed to know the rules behind the rules, the unspoken rules, if you will, right? For example, nobody doesn't tell you why you don't get a job. You just get an email that you didn't get it.
Right.
But you didn't know that you didn't show up correctly for the job. So they didn't like to stand in your suit. They didn't like that you parked in the wrong parking spot. They saw that you were a bad manager of time. You know, they might have saw something on your resume that popped out that just shouldn't have been there, right? So I think that young men need to be prepared for what no one's going to tell them directly so they can know how to show up and own the opportunity. And college is where I learned that lesson the hardest. From not seeing some of the things that I wanted to happen, not understanding how to plan, how to organize, how to execute, things of that nature. So ICE, image, character, and etiquette, that's something that everyone needed to know. They need to know how to have a polished image. They need to know about what character is, using your character, developing it, and etiquette, the do's, the don'ts, and the when's, and the why. Those are the reasons and those answers that we don't really get from people directly. But if you don't know them, you're going to pay for them.
Hey there, Clark Kellogg here. Building a legacy usually involves meeting the unique needs of others and being part of something bigger than yourself. That's why I love First Merchants Bank. First Merchants believes that helping communities prosper means more than just providing banking services. It means offering accessible financial education, expanded access to home ownership, and partnerships with local nonprofits to help raise up neighborhoods and lift families out of financial hardship. For resources and tools available to you, visit www.firstmerchants.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Wow, you guys in here preaching already. We just starting with the episode. I'm just getting started. But no, I have this thing I always tell persons this, is that real change happens when the people who need it lead it. And you guys are really leading the change, you know. Along with that, what are some of the challenges you see? Unique challenges, because each generation has challenges. So, Aaron, what do you see as some of the unique challenges that girls face today?
And I'll speak on this, and I'll say that it is for girls, but I think it's for all youth. I think that family is a challenge and a barrier that we run into. We value family, and the core of family is really important to not only a healthy family, but a healthy society. And so when our families are broken or youth aren't getting what they need in their homes, that is a reflection of how they're showing up in their day-to-day life. And so I would say the greatest challenge that I see come through our doors is the lack of healthy families, the lack of the harm and the trauma and the impact of broken, damaged emotions that are happening in the home is more prevalent and strongly, you know, impacting girls specifically, how they view life, how they are taking on relationships, how they are choosing to, you know, carry out whatever it is that they're responsible for. It really all stems from what's happening in the household. And that's the greatest challenge that I see. And so as we do the work that we do, you know, sometimes it's not always easy to go into the house and shift things up and get the parents together. But we recognize that if we can give these youth a different perspective of what a family should be or what life should look like and break some of those generational curses, we can stop some of those bad habits or the things that are repeating in families, and they can go on another path, right? To end, you know, premarital, having children before they're ready to have children, or making the choices where they go into their career or what side of town they live on. You know, just trying to show them a different perspective and showing them how family is the root of that and the firm foundation for their life and who are they to become.
Sharon, we know how important men are in a family to be a leader. And I know you have a great leadership program. What are some of those skills that you're trying to pour into those young men that might be missing?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, Aaron answered that question very well in terms of, you know, the family structure is something that's really needed. But young men need examples. They need to see examples of success. They need to see it in their households. And if not, they need to see it from somebody in their families. And if not, then they have to see it from somebody in their communities that's very close to them. We need a model to see. The Bible says that, you know, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. And, you know, I believe, man, you want to see a man grow, put him in front of another man. You know, whether he's, you know, intimidated by him or where he just inspires to be like him, he's going to grow because that man is showing him something that he's going to want to be. And one of the struggles for, you know, just youth in general, but definitely for the young men, is just having that self-confidence. You know, having that guy that says, hey, you can be comfortable with who you are on the inside, or you can learn how to be who you are on the inside to do really well for what you can give back to the world or to your own family one day. I think school does a good job in some aspects of preparing people for success. But what we also could learn a little bit better is that introducing students to their gifts, right? If people can learn their gifts of what they're here to give to the world earlier, especially the youth, they'll be much more happier and be on a much more solid path going forward. And I think that we got to kind of reintroduce education to focusing on gifts. How can we pull what's already inside of young people out of them so they can be their best selves?
Well, you got a little passion there on that one. Fired up. Aaron, I had a conversation with a former councilwoman, Priscilla Tyson, and she talked about the Commission of Black Girls Study. Can you talk about the impact that report has had on young girls, young black girls, and girls of color in Central Ohio?
Yeah, absolutely. I was proud to be a part of the work that Councilmember Tyson initiated with the Commission on Black Girls. It was definitely a needed space that we hadn't seen. And I must say, I'm proud of Columbus because when I have people from out of town or out of state, they hear about Aaron Pink, they're like, we want this in our city. And they just haven't heard of programs specifically for girls of color serving them. And so I'm proud of Columbus because there are a lot of programs who are trying to do their part to reach girls. And under the umbrella of the Commission on Black Girls, all these organizations and women and girls, and we're able to come together and contribute to this report that pretty much states what is the state of black girls in our city and what is it that they need. And from that report, there were findings and recommendations. Specifically from our organization, we used the finding that 71% of black girls feel like in our city that they don't have the opportunity to lead. And our girls and our program said they don't feel like they have those opportunities because they feel like they're judged by being too loud, mean, bossy, and black. These overly sensitive stereotypes. And so the Commission on Black Girls has really brought light to some of the disparities that girls face in our city, and it also provides, on the other hand, recommendations. Yes. And one of the recommendations that we utilize is providing more spaces for Black girls to have opportunities to lead, when oftentimes Black girls are put under the guise of programming for all girls, mm-hmm. and Black girls have a unique experience, mm-hmm. and all girls don't have the same experience. And then sometimes we're brushed under the rug with African American programs with boys, and mm-hmm. Black girls have different experiences than boys. And so, from the report, the recommendation is a uncompromised space for Black girls to first be themselves, to see women of color who look like them, who they can look up to and become, and then also a space where they can learn leadership skills and have opportunities to be leaders. And so the report recommends that, and our program offers just that. And so the report has been a tremendous asset to the work that we're doing, not only by providing data and recommendations, but also by being a grant partner. Mm.
The team at the Financial Solutions Network is proud to partner with Tim Brown and bring you this episode of Be a Baller. Our mission is to share generously of our time, talent, and financial resources to help our clients develop financial plans and wealth management strategies that allow them to live the lives they imagine, while connecting them with experiences and people that enhance their quality of life. FCA is one of those organizations by helping young men and women through the development of their personal faith. The Financial Solutions Network is an independently owned and managed wealth advisory firm based in Worthington, Ohio. We are a multi-generational professional team of advisors with a combined 83 years of experience teaching and managing financial strategies for individuals, families, businesses, and institutions. We would be honored to help you plan your financial journey. Contact us at 614-505-3025. Or visit our website at tfsn.net.
You know, being a young couple working in this mentoring space, how have you guys been able to bring the community together? Because when I see you guys and what you guys are doing, it's not just you all, it's bringing people together. How are you guys able to do that, Sean?
Well, we fight in private so people don't have to fight together in the world. No, I'm just joking.
That's crazy. I think that, you know, sometimes I don't even look full circle of, like, what we've created. You know, we just do it. Right. And then sometimes I can, like, literally process, like, where we are today. Mm-hmm. And I think naturally, I think that what we're doing, we're both purposed to do. Mm-hmm. And because we're purposed to do it, the Bible says that when you commit your work to the Lord, your plans will succeed. Mm-hmm. And so we follow that principle. And so therefore, because we're doing God's work and we are purposed to do it, everything that we need is there. And so the people, the community, the youth that we need to serve, the families, they're there and they Absolutely. Show up. I don't think that has been the hard part. You know, sometimes I'm often sitting down and I get a vision or I get an idea of what I need to do, and I don't even think about who's going to show up or who I'm going to serve, because I know that if God has given me that vision or that idea, who it's for, they will be there. Mm-hmm. And so galvanizing of people, which is more of his skill, mm-hmm. I don't even think he is even working hard to galvanize people to find the community to serve, to even get the people on board. They believe in what we're doing because they know it's important. Mm-hmm. And then they know we're not playing around. It's God's work.
Yeah.
And we're going to do what God's told us to do.
And just, with the power of agreement, you know, being a young couple, like you said, the power of agreement, the power of one. You know, if one can chase 1,000, two can chase 2,000 or 10,000, whatever the number may be. But, you know, because we understand we are in a marriage, that we are a union, we understand that we are powerful if we work together and we can have our impact. And so one of the cool things that we also do as being partners and who are a married couple is that, you know, roles, right? I know what I'm good at best, and Erin knows what she's good at. I'm not going to try to do what she's good at. I try it and I'm not that good. And so it's not really worth the journey. Right. But using our skills that we have together as a couple to be able to, it's been very, very helpful to be able to go out and reach people and do the work that we do.
As you look back on it, you won't talk about or brag about it, but I've seen the growth. I've seen where you guys started and where you are today, yes, and also see where God's taking you. So, you know, the Bible says this, he'll do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think or even imagine. And I know you started this thing like, wow, God did that. He's doing this. He's doing more. So the question would be, what advice would you give young people who want to start a nonprofit ministry program?
I get that question often, and I tell people to serve where they are. I can give them a playbook on business, but that's not how it organically began for us. We were doing what we felt led to do with the people who were right in front of us. And so I would encourage other people, if you feel led to mentor, or if you feel led to do a diaper drive or help babies, serve the babies that are right in front of you. Serve the girls who are in your community, in your village already. Do it authentically. What's for you and what you need will come. The resources will come.
I couldn't agree with that more. I would say you just need to kind of just serve. Just do it out of your willingness of your heart. You know, search your mission, search your what's your why you really want to do this, and make sure that you're adding value to people from your service that you want to give. And I'll tell you, man, if you're adding value, then the business will come. The opportunities will come. But I think that you can start by just serving.
Just by serving. You serve where you are.
Serve where you are. You know,
and with the right heart.
With the right heart. With the right heart. You got to have a clean heart. That's right.
Yeah, and God will do the rest. You know, you guys have a couple of signature programs that I get excited about seeing every year. Sharon, can you talk about your Ballers Conference? Now, this is a baller deal. This is a baller legacy, but it's not about money. This one's building a legacy. Yeah. Now, yours is about dollars and cents.
You know,
I've seen the money coming out. I've seen the deal, and we know how important that is.
Absolutely.
So, can you talk about that Baller Conference for young people?
Joined the Ballers podcast because of the name.
All right, now so. I figured that. Well, I appreciate you. We all ballers in here.
That's right. That's right. So, ballers used to be it's really a dated term now if you think about it, but it's catchy now. We've gave it a new life because of how we've built it and the logo and the design. So the kids love seeing it, right? But ball, there used to be a song talking about being a baller, a shot caller, having all the money and things of that nature. And so we came up with an idea for the annual Ballers Conference. We just had our fifth or sixth annual Ballers Conference this past year. And what we rebranded baller. Being a baller is being financially literate. You can't be a baller if you don't know anything about money and how it works.
Right.
And so we're on a mission now to, you know, reduce that wealth gap, to make sure that the youth are that understand, you know, principles about money. You should understand about budgeting, credit and debt and investments and entrepreneurship, savings, those different type of opportunities. And what I love when we bring this annual conference and the kids are getting all of that in a day. They're doing it through rotating sessions, but we don't miss an opportunity to not only educate the kids, but educate the parents.
Yes.
Because I can't give the kids information and then they go back home and start asking these questions. The parents are like, well, I don't do any of that, you know?
Right.
So we take advantage of that opportunity to make sure that we are really improving the financial state of the African-American community, the community itself, and really making a change in the family. So that's why we started the Ballers Conference.
Excellent. And then, Aaron, you're program or event is Give That Girl the Mic. Talk about that event.
Yeah, so Give That Girl the Mic started from me just serving where I was. Mm-hmm. And so we had a girls' night from a few of the girls who were at our church when we were younger. They came over and had a sleepover. And they were so excited. Matter of fact, I was in college. I came home from college over the weekend, and I packed my mom's house out with about 20 girls from middle school and high school age. They were so excited. There was, at that time, it wasn't a business. I didn't have a curriculum. We were just having girl talk, and we were just doing girl things. And they were just so excited. They're like, when we woke up the next morning, what's next? And I was like, I don't know. This was just a one-night thing. I was just, you know. Right. And they were like, well, let's do a talent show. And I was like, okay. And so my pure heart to serve, my genuineness to be there for them was like, can I do a talent show? And so out of that, Give That Girl the Mic was birthed, I think, in 2011 and 12. And we created a platform for girls, no matter what talent they have, to have a professional stage to perform. My background is in dance. I studied dance all through middle school and high school. And being a brown girl, I knew that on stage in the theater, I was not always going to get the lead part, right? There's a Broadway show called Dolly, Hello Dolly. And Dolly was never going to be casted for a brown girl like me. And so Give That Girl the Mic is really created for the brown girls like me who don't always get the part, who aren't always the best, they say, for the part, but have a heart to perform. And perform can be a variety of things. We've had an all-girl karate team. We've had a girl who recorded herself baking cookies, and she displayed it on screen. We've had a championship cheer squad of girls of color. Whatever can be displayed on stage, we welcome that, of course, with dancers and singers and musicians. We create that stage. And so this year, we're excited about it. In 2024, it's going to be at the Rife Theater in February. So we're excited. About 100 girls perform every year, and we sell out. Yes, and the community comes and supports the girls. And it's also a space, too, where organizations who have performing arts programs for girls, they come and they perform as well, and it shows the girls in the community other things they can be a part of. And so I know there are a lot of relationships built at Give That Girl the Mic, from joining different cheer squads or going to different programs and organizations because they heard about it at Give That Girl the Mic.
That's right.
You know, this this podcast is about building a lifelong legacy. Can you talk about the legacy that you guys are building?
Absolutely. You know, the legacy that we're building right now is for our family. Mm-hmm. You know, the work that we do is really the work that's in our heart to do. But, you know, when we think about what we're trying to improve in the world, we're thinking about what we want for ourselves. Right. We want healthy family. We want healthy communities. But we are thinking about our own young people, the ones that we've birthed, our two little kids, Caleb and Arabella, and how we can be a light for them, but also so they could be a light for others in the world as well. And so we only can do that by building something that's going to have value, right? That's going to be something that that leaves an imprint, right? So they don't have to go knock on a door, right? That the door is already opened through the relationships and the things that we were able to build. But it's more so based upon us just valuing family.
All right. That's well said. That's well said. Mama?
Ditto. He said it. Yeah, he said it. It's facts.
Yeah, it's good. You know, lastly, as we kind of turn the corner, I want to give you guys an opportunity to tell the audience how they can support your programming, and then how they can get in touch. If there's a school, I know you guys in a lot of different schools in the community as well. If a school is interested in you guys being a part of their curriculum and work with their girls and boys, can you share with the audience how they can do that?
Yeah, awesome. You can certainly reach out to us by info@icementors.org. info@icementors.org and to email us and kind of let us know how you want to be involved with us. We're on all social media platforms. We have an Erin Pink Girl Empowerment page. We're also on the Ice Mentors page. Our website, icementors.org and erinpink.com as well, are ways that we can be contacted. We also are doing a lot of leadership training at this current time, not only for the students that we serve, but into the working with the schools and the different clients in the community as well. So that's something that we're providing, just to tell them about the work that we're doing and how it's also translating to how they can work with their students and communities.
That's awesome. Can you tell us that website one more time?
Absolutely. IceMentors.org, I-C-E, Mentors.org, and ErinPink.com.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you guys for being a guest on the show. This is a much anticipated show. I've been waiting to get you guys on so that I know what you guys do. We want the world, not just the city of Columbus, but the world to know what you guys are doing. And we have some young people who are really building that legacy, you know, for that next generation. And I want to thank you all for answering the call. Yeah. You know, God has a call in everybody's life. And the blessing with you two is you answered early. Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't run away from it. You know, you knew exactly what God had called you to do. I heard you say you came home from college, you know, to bring some girl. You're a student in college, you know. You're going to give a weekend in college to come and have some kids, young ladies come over. So you guys truly have answered that call. And God has great things for you. Awesome. My wife has said this. She says all the time that we have to have a vision for our children. Mm-hmm. You know, and talking to you, I know there's a vision.
Yeah, absolutely.
For those two children, you guys have a vision for them.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, being that our kids are old, grown, and all that, they'll work the plan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the other thing, lastly, is this, is that they see you guys working with other children, but I know I've watched you guys. You have them right there with you. Mm-hmm. So they can see if mom and dad ain't there, you know what mom and dad's doing.
Absolutely.
And they're not getting cheated by any of this. You know, they benefit from all of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's truly a blessing. I want to encourage you guys.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you. I thank the audience for listening to today's broadcast, Be a Baller podcast. And special thanks to our guests, both Aaron and Sharon Hathaway and Ice Mentors and Aaron Pink. Be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share this podcast with family and friends. Be a Baller podcast is available on all major podcast stations. Be sure to come back next week as we continue to discuss on how to build a lifelong legacy. Until then, don't forget to be a baller. This podcast was created by Coach Tim Brown. It was edited by Tehran Howe and produced and recorded by the video production class of Worthington Christian High School.